In verse number 6 of Isaiah chapter 45, the Bible said that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. The Bible said, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is none beside me. You might say, well, preacher, that's a kind of an elementary statement. Well, I hope that Brother Brian and the Lord will at least take us from elementary school to middle school in this service today. Amen. When we look at the things that this statement is surrounded by in this chapter. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today that we know that we're not praying to a God that cannot hear. Lord, you're here. It's open to the cry of your people. Lord, we cry out to you this morning and ask you to help us in this service. Make yourself real to us, our Father. And Lord, we know that in this chapter, the prophet Isaiah, the Lord is exposing truth. And what wonderful truths they are. I pray, Father, today that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray especially, Lord, today for that individual that's perhaps grown cold, indifferent. Maybe as the trio was singing about an amazing God, there just wasn't much going on in their heart. God, I pray that before they leave here today, that once again you'd be an amazing God in their heart and in their life. And God, I pray for that one that's lost, doesn't know the Savior. Lord, I learned a long time ago that I don't know who they are, but God, I do know this. You do. You know who every lost individual is in this congregation today. How I pray you'd speak to their heart. Lord, I'm glad that there is none besides thee. There is none else. I pray, Father, that you'll just bless in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I wanted to give you something this morning just by way of introduction that I believe will be a blessing to you. It always blesses my heart to look at some things. And this statement here, there is none else, written, making reference to our God, is used 10 times in the Word of God. And not only is it used 10 times in the Word of God, but 5 of those 10 times are used in one chapter. That speaks to my heart. That 5 out of the 10 times, half of the time that statement is used, there's none else, is used in the chapter that we have before us today. In Deuteronomy 4 and 35, the Bible said, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There's none else beside him. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. You say, preacher, why do we have church? Why do we preach? Why do we have Sunday school? Why do we go out visiting? Because God wants the whole world to know there's not another God anywhere. There's none else besides him. He's the one. Isaiah chapter 45, we get into our chapter now. I am the Lord, in verse number 5. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 6, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 14, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, the merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee, in chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God.
In Isaiah 45 and verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. He said, I am the Lord and there is none else. In Isaiah 45 and verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 27, he said, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. I took the time to read those 10 verses because I believe we're living in a generation that's trying to proclaim a false gospel, a lie that says there's more than one way to the city of God. God said, I am the Lord. There is none else. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe with all of my heart this morning, this is an exclusive that God is saying, I'm the one. I said this years ago, and I believe it to be true. I'm glad, I'm thrilled that I didn't have to pick one of three doors the night that I was lost and that I understood that I was a sinner and that I understood that I needed forgiveness and that I needed my guilt gone and I needed somebody to receive me into their family. I'm so glad that God didn't give me three doors and say, pick one of them. I'm so glad he stood up in my life and said, I am the Lord. There is none else. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't leave me guessing. He let me know that he was the door. He was the water of life. He was the resurrection and the life. He was the bread of life. He is the Lord. Not was, not will be. He is. He said, I am none else. There is none else. There's none beside me. I want to give you some truths this morning that as the Lord spoke to my heart and hopefully and prayerfully, it'll speak to your heart. There, go down through the chapter with me. I'll give you the first point and then back up and show you a few things. The first point in the message that I want to bring out today is there is none else, so we need to listen to him. We need to listen to him. How many have ever said in your life, I wish I would have listened? Let me tell you a day when that's going to be said a lot. That's at the great white throne judgment. When people that have heard the truth and rejected the truth are cast for eternity into an eternal burning lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, I believe one thing that'll be said is, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have listened. Could be that somebody in that day might have said, well, I wish someone would have told me. But let me just give you a little something here. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I believe a person in that day could say, I wish I would have listened and never heard a human voice. They would have listened to what God was telling them through his creation, and they would trust in him as their Savior and their Lord. I believe that when a man or a woman acts upon the light that God gives them, God will give them more light. God didn't put the moon up there to worship the moon. He put the moon up there to create a question mark in our hearts. Say, who made that? Who hung it there? God put the sun and the stars there. God put the birds here. God put the trees here and the grass here and the sea here and the rivers here so that you and I, my friend, would seek after him, amen, and just wonder and try to get an answer. Who did all of this? That's why he did that. Beloved, look with me at the scripture. He is the creator. Look at verse number 12. We need to listen to him. He's the creator. In verse number 12, he said, I made the earth. I created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Now, let me give you something here. It's in my heart. I know I was listening to a preacher preach last week, and he made this statement. He said, we've got young men, Bible believers, going off to Bible college, And he said, then they're leaving college and they're no longer a Bible believer. How many say, I understood what I just said. They're trying to destroy the very foundation that our faith is built upon. Well, let me ask you something. If Bible colleges are doing such things, what would secular colleges be doing? Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, our young people need to make up their mind. He is the Lord. There is none else. They don't need to try to mix it up with Charles Darwin. They just need to say, my heavenly Father created the heavens and the earth. He made me. He saved me. I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. That's what we need, a determination in our heart that He is the Lord. There is none else. He's the Creator. Look at verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He informed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. I'm so glad. Listen, there was a time in my life. Oh, listen, God help me. But there was a time in my life when I would listen to those science teachers and I would try to make the Bible come together with what they were saying. Let me tell you something right now, honey. Either you're going to have to take God at His word or you're going to have to take them at their word. And I tell you, you'd be a wise individual to take God at His word because He is the Lord and there is none else. That's what the Bible is declaring this morning. You can't mix it up. Oil won't mix with water. And truth won't mix with error. A lot of people get shaken in their faith because they never get Genesis 1:1 nailed down in their soul. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Thank God He is the Creator. We need to listen to Him. There is none else. Look at verse 9 down through verse number 11 for just a moment. The Bible said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. You say, preacher, what happens when you begin to question your maker? You'll begin to strive with your maker. The Bible said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord in verse 11, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, there will become a time in your life when it's not time to ask mom. It's not time to ask dad. It's not time to ask a professor. It's not even time to ask a preacher. God said, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you come to me? Why don't you let me convince you that there is none besides me? Oh, beloved friend, he wants a personal relationship with his children. There's none besides him. He is the Creator. Many strive with him when what they ought to do is trust him, have a talk with him. In verse number 19 through verse number 21, not only is he the Creator that we need to listen to, we need to listen to him. He's the Savior. If you'll look with me, please, at verse number 19 in the chapter, he said, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. Listen to me carefully here. He said, I declare things that are right. Aren't you glad? Thank God there's a place you can go. Called an old-fashioned Bible. This old King James Bible, God will just tell us what's right. Amen. He said, I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, that they have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. I say hallelujah. Not only is He the Creator, but He's the Savior of the world. The Bible, a lot of people say, well, you know, they believe in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. Let me make a statement. Beloved, listen to me carefully. We are all, every one of us, God's creation through our first birth. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, listen to what I'm saying right here. We are all God's creation through our first birth. Red or yellow, black or white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We are all God's creation through our first birth. But honey, you can only be God's children through a second birth. There must be a new birth. There must be a time when a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, the little girl, I think her name was Hannah, 12 years old, Wednesday night. She, listen, it was not initiated by the teacher. It was initiated by the Holy Spirit. She began to ask questions. She began to confess that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. And beloved, listen, it doesn't take much to point somebody to the one that said, there's none else than the Savior of the world. Listen, the Word of God, she's been hearing it in Sunday school. She's been hearing it in class 2 or 3 weeks. The Word of God will not return void. The Word of God will speak to hearts. Oh, listen, there's none beside me. We need to listen to Him. It's a simple message, I know, today, but look at secondly with me, please. In verse number 4, verse number 22, let's look here at what the Bible said. The Bible said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Isaiah's a prophet. Y'all understand that. Isaiah's saying in this verse, if you read it carefully, look. He said, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Brother Eddie, God is opening the door right here in prophecy, looking down through the eons of time. He's saying it's not just going to be about Jacob. It's not just going to be about Israel. But honey, I'm going to open the door to all the ends of the earth. Boy, I begin to think, Brother Steve, verses begin to go through my mind like what Jesus said. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. Didn't say all Jews. Said all men unto me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said there's a day coming when God's going to open the door to the dogs. He's going to open the door to the Gentiles. They're going to have an opportunity to be saved. They're going to have an opportunity not just to listen to the God of heaven, but to look unto the God of heaven and be saved by the grace of God. Look unto me and be ye saved. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, you remember, turn with me in your Bible to Numbers, please, chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Let me give you something here. Watch this now. It's important. Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4. I'm going to read a few verses here, starting in verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Boy, when I looked at that this morning in my reading, I thought, hallelujah. That's the way we get sometimes, isn't it? We get discouraged because of the way. Isn't that right? Hey, listen, there's an outfit running around telling you the way's always easy. That's not taught in the Word of God. Sometimes the way gets difficult. Sometimes the way gets dark. Are you listening to me? But God said, hear His people. They got discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. All the very provision that God had given miraculously in the manna, they begin to hate it. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Well, God just gave me something right there. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. You say, preacher, what did God just give you? God didn't take away the serpents. God hasn't taken away sin. But hallelujah, there's one that can be lifted up. If you'll look to him, you can be saved by the grace of God. God didn't take away the serpents. But listen, he made provision that the people of God could live. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. Well, how about John chapter 3 and verse number 14? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, there's only one him. There's only one, and beside him there's none else. The Bible said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth, he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look unto me and be ye saved. There's none else. I'm glad the night I realized and recognized. I had realized it and recognized it before. But that night, I was able to swallow my pride and admit it. God, you're right. God, I'm wrong. I'm glad. I was looking in the right direction. I was looking at the one that had been lifted up on an old rugged cross. You say, preacher, if I be lifted up, shall draw all men unto me. Read the next verse. And this spake he, signifying what death he should die. Honey, listen, I believe God's people ought to lift him up, but that's not the primary meaning of that passage. Jesus was saying, I'm going to be lifted up on a pole. I'm going to be lifted up on an old rugged cross, and everyone that will look to me will live. They'll live. He's the cure for everyone that's been bitten by the serpent. That's typology of sin, and we've all been bitten by sin. Someone said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, then put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. I can do better than that now. If you don't believe in the sin nature, go home with me. Watch Olivia shake her finger at her mommy and say, no, no, no. Now, how many knows it's supposed to be mommy telling them? Now, you say, preacher, what happens? Well, there's a lot of business that picks up, and Papaw has to leave the room. You say, why? Because that kind of business needs to pick up. That's why the streets in Charlotte are full. Because nobody picked up where the business needed to be picked up. A lot of them old boys need a belt. That's what they need. They need a daddy like I had. They need a mother like I saw one time about a year ago, grab that boy by the hair of the head and say, get over here. You don't belong in that mess. Amen. Look unto me. Be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. There's probably a couple hundred people here today. And Brother Rose, in many ways, we're as different can be. Different backgrounds, different education. Some of us are a little heavy and some of us are too skinny. I hate skinny people. Some of us had a good home, and some of us didn't have a good home. But let me tell you something we have in common. Every one of us has been saved. There's a day, Brother Randy, come in our life. But we didn't look around anymore and see everybody else's faults. But we looked on the inside and saw our own. And we knew that we were in trouble with a holy God. God said, look unto me.
I'll tell you, I have some regrets in my Christian experience. Things I've done that I shouldn't have done. Help me. But I've never regretted the day that I looked to Him. You say, preacher, why? Because when I looked unto Him, He saved me by His marvelous grace. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I've given you two things. Let me give you one more quickly. I'll try to just kind of do a little review of this last thing. Listen, this chapter's teaching us, listen, there is none else. There's none beside Him. So we ought to listen to Him. We ought to look to Him. Let me give you one more thing the Lord spoke to my heart about. And that is this, we ought to lean upon Him. You say, preacher, what do you mean? One of my favorite songs, we don't hear it much, but we hear it sometimes, but I think it used to be used a lot more often, Brother Ralph, is that song, Learning to Lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever seen. Learning to lean on Jesus. Let me just say this. I believe the Apostle Paul, when he died, was still learning to lean. I don't believe that's something that you just learn it and one day say, well, praise God, I've learned to lean now. Now that's what life is about. Learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. There is none other. You say, preacher, where'd you get that in the chapter? Look at verse 24. Surely shall one say, you see, it gets personal. You can talk about all the ends of the earth. But let me tell you how people get saved, one at a time. Well, you say, preacher, there was 3,000 got saved there in the New Testament. There was 5,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, but they all got saved one at a time. Every one of them personally had to look unto Jesus and be saved by the grace of God. Every one of them. Dad didn't look for the son. The son didn't look for dad. Mom didn't look for the husband. The husband didn't look for mom. They all had to look for themselves unto the Lord. Lean upon Him, for there's none else. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to Him shall men come, and all that are incensed against Him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. You say, preacher, lean upon Him. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You can lean on Him. He's with us today. Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, to Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. It's only Him. Beside Him there is none other. Isaiah 9 and 6 said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful. Do you know Him? Can you say He's wonderful? Can you say besides Him there is none else? I heard a man preaching about marriage one time, and it stuck with me what he said. He said, you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to give the Lord, I want to put the Lord at the top of the list. He said, that's kind of like talking about women and having a list and saying, I want to put my wife at the top of the list. He said, honey, your wife better be the list. Man right there. I don't care whose name's written in number two. You're in trouble. And God wants to be the list in His children's lives. He wants everything to revolve around Him. There's none else. Behold, He's wonderful. He's Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. They shall call His name Emmanuel,
which being interpreted is God with us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He said, preacher, I don't know why you get up there every Sunday. Well, I just want to testify one more time that he's the one. Besides him, there is no other. None other name under heaven. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. What are you trying to say, preacher? We can lean on him. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'm glad this morning I can report to you without apology, without fear, without favor, that he is the Lord. There is none else. There's none beside him. You can look anywhere you want to look, but you'll not find another. He is the Lord. You say, preacher, I just don't believe that today. There'll come a day when you'll believe it. But it'll be too late if you leave this world without trusting Jesus. Beloved, he wants us to listen to him. Listen to him. Let me say this, and I think you all know this. I believe in preaching. The Bible said that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But I believe if you'll remember back, I'll get a show of hands in just a moment. The night God saved me, I'm being honest now, I heard very little of what my pastor said that night. Is there anybody can remember and experience something like that? You heard very little of what he said because somebody else was talking to you in thunder tones and speaking to your heart. I tell you, that night, honey, when the Lord saved me, I couldn't tell you what my preacher preached on. But I know the message that the Holy Spirit had brought to my heart. Son, you're guilty. You know it, and I know it. And I would hear another voice. What are these people going to think? What will they say? And then he come on. He didn't just start with question marks, but he come on with some statements like, they'll throw you out of this church. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When you hear the voice of God, you can get to a place where you don't care what they do. I was going to hell without hope, without God. That night, the Lord Jesus gave me enough grace to swallow my pride and look to him. And I found out something that night. God had already said it in his word. The devil's a liar. He's the father of a lie. Oh, honey, let me tell you something right now. When he speaks, you better listen to him. You better listen to him. And if you get to listening to him, just could be, you'll want to look to him. You get to looking to him, and it just could be, you'll trust him and you'll want to lean on him the rest of your life. The rest of your life. Brother Ralph, I don't say this to bring attention to you and Sister Shelby, but one of the things that makes you all such a blessing to me is because I know that God brought you through a time that no pastor could have brought you through. No friend could have brought you through. Your mom, your dad couldn't have brought you through it. But the one that stood up and said, I am the Lord, and there's none else. There are people in this building today, not just Brother Ralph and Sister Shelby, that have been through some things. And if it hadn't been for the one to lean on, the one that said, I am the Lord, there is none else. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that I'd be here today. I'm not even sure I would be in the ministry today if there wasn't one I could lean on, one that said, I'm here for you. Maybe others don't understand, but I understand. My wife sitting over here made a statement. It's been several, many years ago now. But she looked at me with hurt unimaginable and said, honey, I'll never get close to anybody again. Can anybody besides her relate to that? I'm done. I'm not going to open myself up for that anymore. And she'll tell you, I looked at her and said, you don't know it now, baby, but you will. You'll get close to folk again. I told her, I said, because Jesus lives in you. And you just can't walk at arm's distance from people while Jesus is living in you. You just can't do it. You get close to people because you love God, because you love His people. We can lean on Him from here to glory. It'll be all right. Amen. Amen. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is none else. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we head into the time of invitation, it's my prayer that individual that's here that does not know you would consider the Lord this day, would look up on an old rugged cross and see Him bleeding, see Him dying for His sin, see Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Lord, thank You for laying down Your life for us. It's my prayer this morning, Lord, that You'll speak to hearts. Perhaps, Lord, there's someone here today that perhaps it's not hurt from another individual. Maybe it's just life. And there's great hurt. They need strength. I pray that today, Lord, they will lean upon You for that strength. God, that they will look to You. Lord, You didn't want us just to look and be saved and then never look again. You wanted us to live our lives by faith. And Lord, I pray that You'd encourage Your children today. Lord, when we look around, we get discouraged. But Lord, we can look up and be encouraged and know that You are the Lord. You change not. You're the same yesterday and today and forever.